Okay, good evening, everyone. This is Gordon, W2TTT. This is the Barotechnet, K2BAR, radio station of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association. Any amateur is welcome to participate in the TechNet tonight. Two privileges for the 2-meter band. Your purpose of this TechNet is to think about and discuss any amateur radio activity that might, come up and make you think and make you wonder. Even maybe you want to discuss because you know something about it, but you want to share it, or maybe because you don't know as much about it as you think, maybe something more you can add to what you do. So, there's really no reason to just have a question. You can have a comment. You can have a suggestion. You can have a, hey, I did this, and what else can I do? Or I did this, and isn't it cool? You want to do it with me? Any subject within amateur radio is pretty much fair game. We do have some announcements. We have a ham fest this Saturday. We have a county bike tour on Sunday morning. And then just for fun, we have a Barra meeting on Sunday night, because it is, in fact, June 1st, first Sunday of the month. So that's going to be kind of cool, too. The club meeting is going to be usual stuff, plus a lot of friendship and fellowship, which always varies a bit. Good. And coffee and yummies before the end. And of course, we're going to have a presentation on Scarborough Reef and the expedition last year. And I've got some surprises for tonight as well. So, just as an advisory, the net is being streamed on ustream.tv. U as in uniform, stream, Sierra, Tango, Romeo, Echo, Alpha, Mike, .Tango Victor. And just search on W2 Tango Tango Tango, and you will find it. You're welcome to sign in. It'll be fun. So, on that happy note, we're looking for check-ins. Stations with emergency or party traffic, please go first. K2BAR. Lots of blessings. All right, stations whose call signs begin with K2, please go first. This is K2BAR. Call sign, name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment or none of the above.
K2DSL, David, no question.
Good evening, David. And whoops, I lost my lighting fixture for a moment. I have to work on stabilizing that during the course of the net. Very good. Any other Kilo 2 stations? Please call K2BAR.
K2ZC, Dave, no question.
Anybody else? Any Kilo station, period. K2BAR. Call sign, name, and whether or not you have a question, comment, or none of the above.
K2BAR. K2BAR, this is KC2PYB. No questions. Richard.
Richard, KC2PYB, gotcha. All right. Any other Kilo stations, please call K2BAR. Alrighty. Any November stations, please call K2BAR. Call sign, name, and whether or not you have a question, comment, or not, Nebo.
N2OEL Mobile, Palisades Park, one comment, one question.
Well, very good. One comment, one question, so noted. Anybody else with a November call, please call K2BAR.
This is NS2K, Jim, no traffic at this point.
Okay, I do have one question for you, Jim. Are you swinging by here?
Oh, you need a lighting director?
No, I mean, you're welcome to come by. If you are, I want to ask you to swing by, the 7-Eleven. Buy some ice cream, I'll even pay for it, but I'm just teasing. If you're out and about, want ice cream, what the heck? It's always a good thing. I policed the yard this week, just thought you'd like to know. But yes, I am outside. We are using Ustream again, ustream.tv. Search in there for W2 Tango Tango Tango, and you'll find that, and you'll be able to participate. It's very cool. We also have a little text messaging thing that goes on underneath, so you can also send little messages and remind me of things during the net, if it so pleases you. All right, any other November stations, please call K2BAR. Okay, NS2K, do you, are you going to swing by? Do you want to make a stop or not? If you don't want to, don't worry about it.
Well, I suppose. Head back out. No, it, anyway, no, we can do that.
Okay. What do you call it? The, let's see, the peach cobbler, the chunky monkey, the anything with strawberry and cheesecake, you know, those are more my favorites than usual chocolate, you know, overdose things, or the, what they call the junky ice cream, but whatever. You can surprise me, but those are the ones that I happen to know. But if you're already home, Jim, don't come out again, good Lord. No, you don't have to do that. But, you know, whichever. But both ways into the backyard are free of debris, as they say. All right, any other stations? Whiskey call. Let's try whiskey call now. But we'll get to TT. Or we can't do BAR. Call sign name and whether or not you have a question or comment for this.
This is W2JEK. Don, no questions.
Good evening to you, Don. By the way, 6 meters was open. It was fairly well tonight. I was kind of crying that we had the net tonight because I think under certain circumstances I might have found myself outside operating the net instead, but the feathers are up there. Don said, cool as a cucumber, comfortable on the deck, which is a big picture of the feathers. All right, any other stations we call HBAR?
K2GTL, repeater.
Okay, any Alpha stations, please call K2BAR. All right, any other stations, please check in, call sign name, and whether or not you have a question, comment, or none of the above, please call K2BAR. Wow, that was last night. At least I understand why people aren't here. They'd be watching the Red Wings, not quite get it done with the Penguins. But anyway, no big deal. Okay, well, we have GCDSL, GCDZC, GCDPYB, N2OEL, NS2K, W2JEK, and you're surely the only new DTT. So I think we're going to proceed for first for Noel's comment or question. Pick one.
Okay, let me just go to low power. Can you hear me clearly?
I can hear you now, and before, and later.
Okay. First is a comment on the connectors. At Middletown Hamfest, I bought some Type N. N female on one end, N, and Type PL 215 on the other. They were $4 a piece. I bought six. Went to Gene a week ago Saturday, bought a new 2 meter 440 rig and a dual band common antenna. Hooked up, or attempted to hook it up. Gene, unfortunately, gave me the wrong connector. He gave me backwards. So I took one of these brand new connectors, hooked it up, and the thing broke as I was trying to put some tape around it. I said, oh God, that was bad, and I got another one. Put the cable on it, wiggle a little bit, the thing broke again. It just slipped right off. Okay, so go back to Gene. He has some nice connectors for $5. My comment is, don't try to buy cheap. Go to Gene, spend $5, get the good stuff.
Okay, could you clarify what kind of connector this is? Is this like an SMA to N or something like that on top of a handy talkie? I mean, what are you putting, what kind of adapter or connector is it that you're doing here that's snapping off? We're not quite getting that little fundamental element of instruction or context.
Okay, the antenna is... the Comet, it's got a P
PL, no, an SO239 on the bottom. So normally you'd screw a PL259 in it. I have LMR400 with type N connector. I have to screw an N male into a female SO239. It doesn't work. I got a adapter. The adapter on one side is a PL259. On the other side is an N female.
Let's see. And you bought the cheaper one and had the, shall we say, joy and delight of hosing yourself up, as it were. By the way, for those who are watching the video, I just increased the frame rate to about 23 frames per second, which is just over double what we had before, so that should improve things a bit as well. All right, I get you. So the lesson of this exercise is buy the good ones.
Don't scrimp on your connectors because it just fell apart. I finally found a mil spec on the old silver one, built like a truck. I imagine both of us could hang from it, and that's currently up there. We put it up on the roof last Sunday.
Okay, and how's the antenna working for you?
Well, I hooked my new radio up to the new antenna, and I waited for Wednesday night. Well, I talked to a couple things, put in a couple frequencies. Wednesday night is racing. So I compared the old radio and the old antenna against the new radio and new antenna. And some of the stations were so down, far down in the noise, I couldn't hear them on the new setup. And I could hear them clearly with my ancient, bought new in 1986, 7150 by Kenwood. And some saying, oh God, that new antenna is not working. Of course, you can't transmit with the radio hooked up to the other antenna because they're only about 15, 18 feet apart. So the next thing I did was simply say, what's happened if I swap it? Well, suffice to say, the new antenna seems to be doing better. So I waited to the baronet. Then I did the first half of the net on the new antenna, and I asked everybody to listen on the input, and I did the second half on the old antenna. And according to the only report I got, the new antenna is 2S units better than the old antenna. And this is using the same radio, 7 watts, each time. I just swapped it.
Okay, very good. You not only got it done, but you got to actually, assess its performance. Now you are clearly happy, which is a good thing, because you've been struggling with that for quite a while, and I'm kind of wondering, how long you were going to beat yourself up with compromised antennas, for lack of a better term.
Now for the question.
The question.
So I got a brand new ICOM 208H. New out of the box. How sensitive should it be? I mean, you would think a brand new radio today's date would listen better than a radio that was new in 1986. And, I mean, it wasn't even comparable. I could hear people with the old radio and the antenna that's 2 units lower better than I could with the new radio and the super duper antenna.
Okay. Well, I'm not terribly surprised. So you're swapping out things. Have you tried, just to make sure I caught this right, did you check to make sure have you used both radios with the same antenna and you're noticing a decided lack of quality? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I was swapping it back and forth, and the newer radio with the better antenna could not hear as well as the older radio with the old antenna. And of course, when I switched the old radio to the new antenna, boy, did it get even better.
Okay. Interesting. That's very interesting. So,
I'm not terribly surprised. I think that one of the things you might consider, though, is that they've broadbanded that radio so much that that it may not be as sensitive in the target band in order not to have, undue susceptibility to intermod products and things like that. Jim, what do you think? NS2K, KTPAR.
Well, I've only heard part of that running around here. Oh, actually, wondering where the on the way 7-Eleven type place is.
Washington Avenue and Church Street, across the street from the Exxon Mobil.
By the church, no problem. Got it.
Yep. And they're likely to have that DJ ice cream or Chunky Monkey or some sort of strawberry bananas or whatever it is. I don't remember. I'm sure strawberry cheesecake, whatever. WTTT. So, what we were saying is that a modern HT, such as 208, is so broadbanded that it might not have the sensitivity that an older, narrow band with the radio might have, because the concern over making it too susceptible to IMD, don't you think?
Oh, a lot of the older radios, and certainly the commercial ones, have vastly better receivers as far as being able to receive a narrow band FM. Most of the ham ones are broad as a barn and very susceptible to overload. So, how should I say, there are limitations in the design. Of course, you want to be able to do WFM and AM and TV and, goodness gracious, all the other things, sideband, anything else that half the HTs do nowadays. It gets ridiculous. NS2K.
K2GCL repeater.
You can realize the IP408 says 55 watts, 2 meters, 50 watts.
So, anybody else want to make any comments on this? KTBAR.
You do realize it's not an HT.
Doesn't matter.
It's the one that puts 50 watts out on UHF, 55 on VHF. And of course, the older radio that I have is that I Kenwood with four helical resonators, so I don't really suffer from anything out of the band.
Well, if you're that concerned about it, you could inquire Yaesu, I guess it is? No, ICOM. No, Yaesu is 208, right? Say Yaesu or ICOM, I'm sorry.
ICOM.
I mean, they're known to have pretty hot receivers. I'm a little surprised, but I have a 2100 that kicks ass, I'll tell you that. That's 2 meters only.
So the question is, how can I really tell, and should I complain to ICOM?
I would go up against a couple other radios that are similar, and go from there. I think that's how I would handle it at this point. Saturday at the Hamfest, do some A-B comparisons on these farther away repeaters. The other thing you could do is get a signal generator and a scope and measure. If you have an RF scope, it'll work at 2 meters or 440, whatever frequency band you want to test. Take a very low level signal, take a measurement using the scope, the amplitude from looking at the voltage peaks, you can calculate, how much power it is, and then you can then put an attenuator in front of it and crank it back and see if you can put, down a decent minimally discernible signal and just measure it against other receivers and see what happens. And that might be the simplest way to do it, right? That way you can have a known reference crank it back to whatever level you want.
I happen to have that 120 dB lab grade attenuator. It's 0 to 120, 10 dB step. That's a good idea. I just didn't know whether I should complain. It looks like it would be entirely serviceable for normal mobile use. It, you know, it picks up the repeaters, no problem. It's just that I was wondering if that was a different sign defect, whatever, or whether I just simply had a bad one. And that was it. Back to you. This is N2OEL.
Yeah, that's 2K.
2K, go ahead.
Yeah, why don't you call Paul next time we go over to Fairlawn? I believe they have an IFR over there. They can put a known signal level in, and he can tell you exactly what the relative sensitivity, well, the absolute sensitivity of the thing is.
Good idea. Thank you.
At Fairlawn?
Yeah, they've got stuff over there.
I didn't need that. I didn't know that. By the way, how many spoons do we need?
I haven't finished eating my lunch at dinner here yet. It's sitting in the passenger seat right next to me.
Okay, I'll bring out napkins and a second spoon. KTBAR. Anybody else have comments on this point? Okay. We should look for further check-ins. Actually, go back to Noel. Noel, do you have any further comments? K2BAR.
No, thank you, but you gave me a good starting point. I'm in the driveway, and I'll be incommunicado until I get the groceries in the house and turn on the other rig. KTBAR and 2OEL.
Okie doke. Let me just change radio.
Aren't you all glad I don't have a video phone that follows me around and, you know, like that, Survivor Man? This guy who takes a camera on a gantry hanging off his belly or chest, and he runs around. Wouldn't that be just way too annoying? I don't think we want to do that. Alrighty. So, are there any other check-ins from them? Please call KTBAR. Well. Richard, can I put you on the spot for a question?
Yeah, go ahead. Your time is great. Just got back.
Okay, my question is, what is your understanding of the, legalities of races? And, I want to skirt around the specific question you asked me and get to the answer without at least repeating the question the way you an email or something. So I wanted to get to that because I don't think we're going to proceed down in anything other than a perfectly acceptable mechanism or method, but I'm just curious what your concern might have been, if you don't mind.
Okay, my concern comes from, our last conversation, which was the last Aries group meeting, when you spoke to me about certain plans, and also and was triggered again by a comment that Jerry made last night. Racy's operators are appointed by their civil defense organization. That is the wording in the regulation. Now, that means the Office of OEM, which is, replaced the Civil Defense Corps, or the Office of Civil Preparedness. If you are going to recruit, how are you going to get these people appointed in their OEMs? It would seem to me that the way to go would be to educate. And they do hold two meetings a year of new coordinators and OEM coordinators up at MAWA, sponsored by the county, to educate the coordinators. Now, the way I did it when I raised my little unit here is I did it exactly the way it says in the Aries manual, actually, which I hadn't seen until after I had done it. Is that you use the QRZ, etc., and send letters out, try to get people in that way. If this is going to be some pool of so-called racist radio operators from the county, then the only place theoretically they can operate is at the county EOC, because they have not been appointed by the local OEMs, and they're not members of the local OEMs. And you just can't send them in where needed. Racies does not operate like Aries. Aries, you can go out and recruit, you got a pool of people, and you send them where needed. Skywarn, you got a pool of people, get reports from wherever those people are. Racies, you are appointed, and you serve the community in which you are appointed. And that's basically the way that is. And that's exactly what the regulation says. And that's my major concern.
Okay. That's fair. I think there is a bit of a, should we say, a small amount of wiggle room. And that is that if your, should we say, agency of appointment, let's say, is other than a municipality, it is the county, but just, for example, they have a couple of choices. One, they can appoint you and then ask you to operate at the county OEM site, or they can appoint you and ask you to operate at a site of their choosing within the county, but under their jurisdiction. In other words, you're not usurping role. There, they could say, for instance, the county OEM is setting up a radio station, at, let's say, Hackensack Medical Center. They're going to set up another one in the county OEM building, another one in the county administration building, another one in the county police desk. They can do all those things. They can put operators with their equipment. So appointed at each of those locations, they can do that. That was kind of the model that I was looking for in preempt the full municipality and the rule rights, if you will.
K2KCL repeater.
Comment?
Go ahead, Don.
All right, I'm looking at my RACES card. It says Office of Emergency Management. Radio Amateur Civil Emergency Service certifies that Donald C. Younger is a qualified radio operator in the State Radio Amateur Civil Radio Emergency Service and is authorized to operate any radio station in any area of the state under federal communications regulations. And it's signed by a county coordinator and a county radio officer, who is Jerry. And that's the way my card reads. Over.
That's my point.
This is KC2PYB. Who issued that card?
That's the text on the card that I last saw in my pocket.
Well, what I'm asking is, you're saying this is a racist card. Who issued that card?
Don, is that a River Edge card or is that a Bergen County card?
Okay, it says on here, and there's a blank for it, says county, and the word next typed in is Bergen. And my call, regular call sign is there, expiration date is there. It has the signature of the county OEM coordinator and the signature of the county radio officer.
There's your answer.
If you read the regulations, Part 97 or Part 94, I forget which one it is, specifically says RACES is under the direct control of the local civil emergency defense corps. All right? Not under the county. Not under the state. I'm trying to fish my card out that was issued by the county. Hang on.
Yeah, but I guess locality is no question of scope. And that's kind of where we're getting hung up, Richard. Being in New Jersey, we're so hung up over home rule. What they're basically saying is, don't look for the FCC to do your appointments.
FCC is not in charge of appointing. The appointments come from the municipal authority. The municipal authority, in this case, in my case, and if you read the regulations even from the state of New Jersey, starts at the borough level or town level. Your form is filled out. It goes to your local OEM coordinator. He signs it. It goes to the county. They sign it. And then it goes to the state.
Yep. Well, that's true. And, again, Don happens to hold a county appointment. That's how I see it. Just out of curiosity, Don, did they issue you like a number, letter number group?
Yeah, it was originally, when we had that set up, I was for Romeo 3, and 4 Romeo was for the River Edge. Now that's another car that's like, stuck in my dresser drawer in another room right now. But just to be get an idea what's going on, I have two fingerprints on this car. They were taken by, and the photograph were taken by a River Edge police officer. And they were at the time that this card was made, and then they put the photograph on the card and they laminated the whole thing. This was done at the borough of River Edge.
Now this is KC2PYB. Okay, my card says the exact same thing, but I doubt it very seriously. If I walked into River Edge, they're going to honor me as a Racy's radio operator, unless they ask and were told that Fort Lee is sending mutual aid. And my card was issued by the county. I had to go up there and get it.
The OEM Center in Paramus, and I was at the Red Cross in Hackensack, two locations where they needed me. People called me on the phone, hey, can you get over here or get over there? And I served, you know, whether it was strictly according to the book, cross your T's and dot your I's, or they cut a little slack in some of those rules, I don't really know. We did have an emergency situation. And then the telephone central office had been flooded out. We had several shelters in operation and power failures and lots of flooding around. So maybe in an emergency situation, they do things a little different. Back to net, W2JK.
This KC2PYB, those are both Aries activations, not Racy's activations. Racy's is only activated by law under the President's War Power Authority. The United States comes under attack or a state of communications emergency is declared by the FCC. Those are the only two ways Racy's comes under attack. Becomes activated. Anything else is Aries.
This is W2JK, do I have it?
You do. Go back and forth one more time each.
Okay, I guess they had these pool of Racy's operators and used them as Aries in that situation. I was under the impression that the governor of the state could call a state of emergency in a particular county that would activate it. Now, we're dealing with legalities here that probably those of the lawyers don't know the answer to either.
I have read the regulations over and over and over again because when I came into amateur radio, that was my goal, to become a Racy's radio operator. Of course, at the time, I didn't really understand it that well. And I was directed by the ARRL, this is the regulation to read it. And I have read the modernized versions of it. At no time can the governor activate Racy's. The United States must come under attack. That could be terrorists or uniformed troops landing on our shores, or for whatever reason the FCC declares a state of communications emergency. Those are the only two ways RACES becomes activated. RACES is under federal control. It used to be under FEMA. Now, if you look at its insignia, it's still FEMA, but it's under the Department of Homeland Security. It is not under the control of the governor. The governor can declare a state of emergency, and you can activate ARIES all you want and get hundreds of operators out and man all kinds of shelters. They are not RACES operators. You are not activating RACES. The only times RACES was activated was on 9/11. The United States came under attack during the Cuban Missile Crisis because the United States was preparing to come under attack. Right? And prior to that, it came probably during World War II, was the last time before that, that it became activated. RACES is a direct outgrowth and was created in 1940 when the Civil Defense Corps was created, and it was the communications arm of the Civil Defense Corps. And it really hasn't changed much from that. The two times you were called out by whomever, these were ARIES activations. That textbook ARIES. You manned a shelter. RACES doesn't man shelters. RACES mans an EOC that communicates with other RACES stations. Alright? Those are the only times. Has nothing to do with served agencies. The only agency it serves is the municipal government, which it's communicating for. It's KC2PYB.
Okay. Make sure I have it. K2BAR. All right. Your last point, Richard, is not entirely accurate. Under the terms, the notion of locality or local can be a county or any other state-created entity for the purposes of emergency management. So, for instance, in Connecticut, there are counties. They have no civil administrative role. They're called districts or regions or something within the state, and they deal with those areas of the state somewhat collectively. And I think there are four or five of them. They've whacked the state into for the purposes of an administration of any number of things, including emergency management. So. It need not be a municipality. That's my recurring point. Judging by the ID that Don has, it looks to me like he has a county-approved municipal ID, and per the terms of emergency management in the state of New Jersey, if he's asked by his governing body to go operate a radio station in another jurisdiction, or he's asked by some superior jurisdiction, and he's willing to go, he can operate anywhere in the state that he's so directed to operate. And that doesn't change. It doesn't necessarily countermand all the things you said, but what I'm trying to say is that there's the normal operation, and then there's the other things you can do. And the historical context is very nice, but some of it doesn't apply anymore. Some of it still does, but bottom line is that you can operate pretty much wherever you're told you may operate and nothing else. And that's true whether it's in your municipality or anywhere else within the state. You're going to operate where you're told and nothing else, period, in a RACES operation, per the terms of the state's emergency, like you indicated. So anyway, that's pretty much it. And your point about how FEMA is activated is involved in that whole declarative process is also accurate. But it doesn't mean under those terms you can't be operating here, there, and everywhere. You just operate only where directed. All right. KC2PYB and then over to W2JDK, W2, from KTBAR.
My card says the exact same thing that Don says that was issued by the county. All right. As a matter of fact, the only reason I got that card was the county no longer issues those cards. was because I had raised so much cane, because in the regulations of the state of New Jersey, it says I'm supposed to have an ID card, right? And the state's supposed to provide it. Now, if I wait for the state to provide that card, I'll be a resident of New Mexico by then, and probably be buried in New Mexico by then. So the county really isn't in that business. But again, I can't just take this card and walk into some OEM and say, here I am. It's not going to fly. And this idea of, well, you know, we just send operators here, there, and everywhere, hand them a card and tell them they're racing radio operators. You know, they're here, there, and everywhere. You know, to me, it's like unbelievable, because I know what I went through to become one. And, you know, it's just a, like I said, it's unbelievable to me. Emergencies are one thing, but I can't see the county suddenly sending people in here or into any other municipality that hasn't asked for help. And then they're going to turn around to the people they have on their list, who are racing radio operators, and say, can you go? There are 72 municipalities in the county of Bergen, and I would think only a handful of them even have racing operators, because they feel they have some need for it, like this particular municipality. But the rest of them, you know, I can't see where either A, they do have a need for it, or, you know, at any given time, suddenly they're going to find a need, that they need them. You know, there are other means of communications now from when these laws were written, and from the way things were done in the past. You know, communications has advanced itself that far. So, you know, like I said, my interpretation of local, because if you read the regulation again, this is a state regulation, and I'll bring you a copy of it if you want on Saturday. I don't know, I think I may have already given you one. It tells you how that form has to go up. It doesn't start at the county. It starts in the borough. And those are the first signatures that have to be on that is your borough coordinators appointing you. And their copies are basically just information copies. This is KC2PYB.
John? Okay, I dug out my old Racy's card. This is the one I had before, the one that I carry in my wallet. And instead of saying Office of Emergency Management, it says New Jersey State Police, Office of Emergency Management, Radio Amateur Civil Emergency Service, and it goes on with all of the other features of the previous card. That I'm a qualified radio operator and authorized to operate in any area of the state under FCC regulations. And it still shows the county of Bergen. It's a call sign. Instead of being W2JEK, it's WC2AEA, operator 4 Romeo 3. That was the River Edge Racy's call sign. Also, it was signed by a county radio officer who was at that time Ken Mabee, W2PSU, and also signed the signature of Clayton Pagano, who was the superintendent of state police. And basically that's what's different about it. Over.
My card had the same thing. That was the card I had. I just took my wallet. It's not here. I finally took it out. But I was 5 Bravo 3. My wife was 5 Bravo 4. At the time, we were sworn never to discuss that except during the net, and never mix it with our amateur call sign for fear that the Russians would know. Well, it was 1985 or 84. So anyway, in any case, the thing about the form, Richard, is that same form is used by county radio officers and county OEM people to get their people squared away. The fact that it says municipality is kind of, shall we say, a misnomer. But I can assure you, everyone who has a county authorization, such as Jerry, has filled out that form for their county position. and it's the same form, the same thing, and it's a bit of a misnomer. So I think the bottom line is that if you're needed, government will call you. If they've shut down all amateur radio operations, they activate RACES under a civil emergency kind of operation, then only those authorized operators in RACES will be operating. And they'll be operating where A, they are willing, and B, where they're told, and when they're told, and no other way.
Comment.
Hey, Doc.
As a kid, when World War II started, my father had a 20-meter rig and a receiver, and when this whole mess started at Pearl Harbor, he had an RCA, AR-77, and the Army bought that from him. All amateurs were off the air. They had a group known as the War Emergency Radio Service, WERS, and they had equipment on 112 megahertz, which is a VHF only, and I don't know. I have my father's WERS card around, but I think that was the only operation around. Now, prior to Pearl Harbor, we were not allowed to contact certain countries because of the belligerence going on between England and Germany prior to December 7th. And my father has in his logbook a notation that apparently some German submarines were out in the Atlantic and trying to work American hams, and my father heard one, what he thought was one, and he got FCC on the phone and tried to see if they could do a direction find on him. He called a couple CQs, tried to bait the guy into calling him, but I guess that never happened. But there was stuff like that going on during the beginning, before the war actually started, you know what I mean? And like I say, once it started, it was just WERS. And of course, they had air raid wardens, all kinds of stuff like that for the civil defense at that time. Back to that, W2JK.
Yep. So, did they force him to sell his 20-meter radio, or did he volunteer sell it because they needed the equipment for training purposes, or was he compensated for their expropriation of the radio because they didn't want it in civilian hands? What was the circumstance around that acquisition?
Okay, this is a communications receiver card. It was a RCA model AR-77, which is a pretty good communications receiver. I think the top of the line that RCA made was the AR-88, which is equivalent to the Hallicraft SX-28 or the Hammerland Pro or Super Pro, whatever model they had. It was in the same category. This is not the top dog, so to speak. And he was just compensated. He sold the radio to the government. They needed the radio equipment, so that's what happened.
Makes perfect sense to me. Okay. Very good. Well, I think that's an interesting dialogue. Anybody want to add anything new to this, please call KTBAR.
K2BAR, K2FAZ.
K2FAZ. I'm shocked and disappointed that you're not on Ustream tonight. K2BAR.
Hey, I just wanted to say I've been listening to the whole conversation on Aries and RACES, and it's probably one of the best conversations I've heard on the airwaves in a long time. But anyway, I could see how everyone has their different opinions, what's written and what's been interpreted. It seems like some of these, especially Aries, have evolved like many of the laws and interpretations do. But anyway, kudos. That was a very good conversation.
2KCL repeater.
I'll think that was a compliment to us all. Good job. I'm glad I brought it up. I'm glad we have some thoughtful and however passionate dialogue. Was good. Thank you, Tony. Real quick question. Did you get my voicemail about do you need that battery?
Chip
Okay. Sometime next week I should have it for you.
No, that's fine, but do you need the old one?
No, you could keep that.
Okay, because I could trade that in and I'm going to go to a refill place and save myself a few shekels and getting another one. That was my other question. All right, well, thank you. Very, very good. All right. Thanks for the thought. Anybody else I want to check into the net with or without a question or a comment, please call K2BAR.
K2BAR.
Again, please.
K2BAR. This is KC2TEU.
KC2TEU. Go right ahead. How are you this morning?
We're doing great. Love to call. Browning Automatic Rifle. This is KC2TU, Tim in Montclair, New Jersey. Just listening around and about ready to go to bed. So I just thought I'd check in and say hello to everyone. And no questions, no answers, but sounds like Radio Shack. But anyway, back to you there. And you have a great evening and hello to everyone on the net. And we'll try to check in again sometime. KC2TEU will be clear and monitoring.
Okay, Tim, very good. This is Gordon, W2TTT. We've spoken on 5-2 and miscellaneous other places as well. Good hearing you, and thank you for checking into the net tonight. Now, I have a little bit of a toy. For those of you who are looking at on the web, you might notice that, yes, I have a headset on, and it's a behind-the-ear headset. I'm not actually wearing it. Well, I'm wearing it, but I'm not using it. And it's manufactured by Cobalt, like Cobalt as in steel, if you will, or as in radiation, a few other things that you might find. In any case, Cobalt is a manufacturer from Lexington, Kentucky, that assembles headsets for Motorola. And they have the right to take those same headsets and put on other ends for other radio vendors. And so I found that they have this really nice behind-the-ear headset with temporal transducers, so they're right against the bone in front of the ear. So they don't cover the ear. You can wear a hat. You can wear earmuffs. You can wear a helmet. You can do any number of things. It's comfortable. It's got a nice boom microphone. Got a push-to-talk switch on the cable. In my case, I have it cabled up for a Kenwood HT, but I'm thoroughly pleased with it, and I was using it back and forth when I jumped away from the microphone for a few minutes to go get spoons for the ice cream. Jim and I are each enjoying on our deck here, my deck. I used it for a couple of transmissions. And my signal was lousy. It's only because I was using my HD and not the mobile ring. But they are not cheap. They cost as much as most handy talkies, most open handy talkies. They're almost about $200. But boy, are they nice. And they're a lot more rugged than the headsets or the hands of a finger mic you get from other manufacturers or manufacturers of the radios. I've kind of grown to like it over the last couple of days. I've been wearing it for the whole net here. And David asked me, are you using two microphones? Yeah, I'm using a hand mic for the 7000 for the net, but I was also listening a little bit on the handy talking during the net as well. So anyway, if you are looking for a headset, of Cobalt. They have other things too. They have the over-the-ear type. They have the over-the-ear type with noise suppression systems. They have ones with built-in stethoscopes, which is very, very cool, by the way. So you can have your radio and your stethoscope in one handy tool. They have all sorts of goodies. They have subtle things. They have really big, lobby things. So, don't know what you need, but all sorts of types. But I have the one behind the ear that they use with Motorola gear. Again, it's very nice. So, the other things I'll talk about our station layout here tonight. Well, I'll do that after breaking and see if anyone else wants to make comments. This is K2BAR. Okay. Yeah.
cobaltaz.com. It could be better. I don't know if that's the site that I actually use. They have a couple other sites too, David. That's certainly one of them. If it's one how do you hear or how do you communicate or something like that, as a point on their website, then you'll get access to a really good catalog that's pretty well laid out. And while it's downloadable, it's certainly not it's better than the website in some respects. To download the catalog, their website is a bit bizarre. Yes, two PDF catalogs. The one with the fireman, I think, is the one you want to download. CobaltAV.com, CobaltAlphaVictor.com, and click on the other one. Download the PDF that has the fireman on the front. I think you'll be good. In any case, let's see what else can I tell you about. Well, anyway, any other check-ins, comments, questions for the net, please call KTBAR. Alrighty, a couple of announcements. Barra Hamfest is Saturday at 7 a.m., but if you're smart, you can open up at 6 o'clock or even come at 5 and help Jim K2ZO and company do their check-in and take money exercise. That's always good. 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. is the official time. Yeah, okay, well, real people are gone home by 7 o'clock or by 8 o'clock. And I don't care what the official time is. that's what happens in real life. But anyway, I'm not preempting what the rules say. I'm just talking about what I observe. The best deals are done by 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock is for people who want to come for test sessions. 10 o'clock is not time for coming for test sessions. Don, W2JEK, will be running a test session from 8 to 10, if I remember right, in one of the classrooms, room 113, is it? Whatever. The room we used for the kit night, plus or minus a classroom needed for something else. Maybe it's on the other end. Oh, okay. Well, there is a Barrett table by the door. They will cheerfully direct you to where you need to go. Room 123. Thank you very much, David. Somebody can read better than I can. So that should be exciting. If you're going to take a test, you're going to need your $15, two forms of ID, and your Social Security number. A number two pencil. Previous licenses and a Xerox on them if you're upgrading. You definitely need that Xerox if you're upgrading, absolutely. On Sunday at 7 o'clock, we gather at the Red Cross building in Ridgewood on Godwin Avenue, and at 7:45 the meeting starts. In between times, we drink coffee, we have fellowship, we eat cake, and whatever else is in abundance that night. And then we have a wonderful talk on Scarborough Reef, the expedition to there from last year. And you too can go de-exing from the occasionally exposed rim of a submerged volcano. That sounds so much fun. Anyway, while contesting on a piece of plywood elevated in the air. Anyway, I think that's about it for the moment. Anybody else have any comments?
W2JK.
Mr. Don.
Okay, the test session will be in classroom 123. That's the first classroom inside the door that faces the street up in the parking lot there. Door that faces the street. Room 113 is the physics lab that we use for the kit night. We do not use that room. We use classroom 123. Also, the test fee is $14, not $15. $14 if I can check change if you have it. Also, you need, like you say, two forms of ID, photo ID, or one photo ID. If you have a license, I need to see the original license, and I need a photocopy. Also, if anybody has a CSCE for any reason, I have to see that, and the photocopy of same. And also for people who do not have a license, they will need their Social Security number. For most cases, for some of the ID problems with school children.